The blind man Bartimaeus, this story tells us of at least five things that we can glean from our life in prayer. Bartimaeus, as he is found there on the roadside, hears that Jesus is approaching, and when he hears this, he cries out to him. And instead of the individuals around him, the disciples, the sizable crowd, encouraging him to go and be with Jesus, what do they do? Shh, quiet. You're bothering us, right? You know, we're following the teacher. He's got something to say. We want to make sure we listen to it. So don't interject, right? Don't bother him. And what does the blind man do? Jesus, right? He calls out to him again. He keeps crying out to him. In our life of prayer, there is an element of persistence and perseverance. This can't be something that's overlooked. And this arises from a number of things, one being expectant faith. When we pray, do we have faith that God is listening, and do we have faith that He will answer our prayers? Of course, sometimes when He answers our prayers, it will either be exactly what we hoped for, perhaps not yet, or perhaps no, or perhaps in a way that is not what we had hoped for in the yes. But whatever it is, do we have that expectant faith that God indeed is listening? Sometimes when we are talking with our friends and family members, we might say after we've given our litany of woes, well, pray for me, right? But do we know that that's something that will affect change? Sometimes we throw that out there as a way of giving the Catholic version of, well, good luck to ya, right? Or, wish me luck. But do we believe that in the time in which we spend in prayer, things will happen? So is our prayer purposeful? In our attitude of prayer, do we know who we're praying to? This then leads to the second thing. The first thing was about perseverance and persistence. The second is about leaning into the identity of the individual we're praying to. When Bartimaeus had cried out for Jesus, he said something that can be seen through foreign ears, rather peculiar. It says, Jesus, Son of David. Well, who's the father of Jesus, right? Well, you got Joseph, right? So why didn't he say Jesus, son of Joseph? You know, he knew he was from Nazareth. He would have hopefully maybe known the correction if he was going to make some kind of association with who he belonged to. Why son of David? Son of David was strictly used as a messianic term. So Bartimaeus not only recognized Jesus as the one who belonged from Nazareth, but also recognized, no, this is the Messiah. The people that were around Jesus were probably thinking, oh, okay, buddy, you know, this guy's a prophet. Yeah, I think he's a great healer. You're kind of stepping out of bounds here. You know, you're just crying out, throwing out this messianic title. Whew, you know, right, quiet. When we pray, do we pray in the sense that we know who Jesus is? I would hope at least intellectually we have grasped that. Jesus is the Son of God, second person of the Holy Trinity. God is a trinity of being, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So we have all of that, but then do we understand the implications, or do we know the depth of meaning that is tied to that? You know, when we pray to God, do we know that, you know, God is God, right? You know, He's so much more than us. The way in which Bartimaeus displays this is that, you know, when he cries out to Jesus, he didn't just say, hey, Jesus, I got a problem, right? Or, Jesus, heal me. What's his prayer? What is his petition? Have pity on me. He recognizes that God being God and He being Him, God is so much more, right, than anything else. God doesn't owe us anything. Sometimes we go through our prayer life as if God owes us something. I've been good. I've been faithful. Why don't you pay attention to my prayer? Bartimaeus says, have pity on me. He starts there. He says, I recognize who you are, Lord. And, you know, at times I don't think I should speak, but, you know, be patient with me as I offer you my words. You know, that's what Bartimaeus is conveying. You know, he says, I know you are so much more. And even, you know, as nothing is owed to me, I'm still making this request because I'm presuming of your kindness for me. And so do we recognize who it is that we pray to? And in recognizing that, that should formulate our posture of humility, you know. And if it's not something of humility, but something that's demanding, or something that says this is rightly owed to me, then no, we don't know who we're praying to, you know. We don't have that right, and we need to rectify that. So Jesus then hears Bartimaeus, and then he says, well, call him. And Bartimaeus springs up, right? He throws his cloak and goes to Jesus. Bartimaeus, his response is, everything that he's done here is laudable. Bartimaeus doesn't, you know, when he hears Jesus say, well, call him, and then you have the crowd that's saying, oh, you know, Jesus is calling you. Bartimaeus doesn't go, I'm the one that's sick. You should come over here. I don't know where you are. You know, why don't you come to me? Isn't that the right thing to do? Aren't you the Messiah, the one of compassion? You come to me. Why do I have to get up? And sometimes that's our posture of prayer, isn't it? We say, well, you God, come on my terms. Come to where I'm at. And many times by the very mercy of God, you know, he shows us extraordinary mercy and sometimes does that. But, you know, really it behooves us to make the effort to go to where he is. You know, again, that displays our faith, that displays our humility. And this whole idea that Bartimaeus casts off his cloak, you know, this being perhaps just a literary way by which we're able to remember this event, you know, it actually goes beyond that. The casting off of his cloak is very significant. This was something that kept him safe from some of the elements. This was something that during the cool of the night, you know, he would be kept warm. This was something that spoke to him of familiarity. In a sense, it was his security blanket. This is something that provided him with stability. And so, his casting that cloak aside is, again, the recognition that as he is sure that Jesus is calling him, that there is no doubt that this is coming from the Lord, then he knows that because Jesus is his sufficiency, will provide all of what it is that he needs, he has the courage to cast off the cloak. And some of us in our prayer, you know, we expect that to happen in a certain way, and this cloak, this security blanket, is something that sometimes we hold on to and also want to hear what God has to say. It's like we want to have our cake and eat it too, right? You know, God, let me know what you want to say. Just make sure you say it in this way. Just make sure you lead me in a way that doesn't challenge me too much. In a way that will help me exactly where I am. And when the Lord calls us, we have to take that leap of faith. We have to take that risk. That element is non-negotiable. You know, that's why it's faith. It's not calculated assurance, you know. It's faith because we have that risk. We say, I believe, Lord, this is where you're calling me to, and you're calling me to do this, and I'm not really sure, but, you know, I'm really feeling the nudge of the Holy Spirit, and give me the courage to respond. So is there, you know, some, you know, if we've heard from the Lord, you know, maybe he's even taken, you know, some of us, right, a 2x4 and wham, you know, just whacked us upside the head, you know. Ah, and we know it's from God, right? But some of us are saying, well, but still, what are you holding on to, right? What is that blanket? What is that cloak that we just can't get rid of? And we need to pray for the grace to let that go. You know, if indeed we've prayed with the sermon, prayed with a spiritual friend, you know, and realize that is where God is leading us. Jesus then asked the question of Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus is no dummy, right? You know, he sees, you know, what's going on in Bartimaeus. But what Jesus wants to do, he wants to draw that out of Bartimaeus. You know, speak that which you desire. And again, that's the emphasis on why it is that we bring things in prayer. Some may bring up the old argument that, oh, God is omniscient, you know, God knows everything, so I don't need to say anything, you know, God needs it. And even take it so far as to say, well, that's why I don't find the need to say anything to God, because he knows everything. You know, that's an exercise of faith, because I'm not saying anything, and I know God is listening. Oh, shut up. God knows these things, absolutely. You know, God can't unknow what he knows. That's just who he is, by very nature of who God is. He just knows these things. But he also desires to enter into a relationship with us, and he knows our limited capacity and this desire for us to share things from our heart, to give our desire over to him. And so when we do that, he sees that we are exercising that faith. You know, he's drawing forth that faith from us that allows us to engage in that relationship that the Father wants with us. And when we do that, we allow that desire to be given to him, knowing that as in that exercise of faith, that God is going to do something with that. So when we make that known, and not just presume God knows, which he does, but as we bring that forth to him, then it doesn't help God, it helps us. Much like when we would speak with a friend, a family member, and unburden our heart and let him or her know, you know, what's going on, you know, and then all of a sudden things start coming up, you know, that we didn't realize or think before. And it's the same thing with God. You know, when we converse with him in that way, that's the fruit that comes. And then lastly, you have Bartimaeus healed, and then Jesus says something very beautiful. He says, you know, go your way. Your faith has saved you. You know, he says, go your way. He says, you know, and that's what God does with us, right? God freely gives, but then the natural response to that is to follow him. I mean, we can go on our way and do our own thing, but that's only to our detriment. That's only to, you know, our loss. Bartimaeus, understanding, again, who it is that he's praying to, who it is that he's requesting this of, it's the Son of David. Huh? He's the Messiah. He's like, where else am I going to go? You know, you've obviously demonstrated, I know who you are, you've demonstrated who you are, and I can't help but follow you. And this last point is important, because sometimes that's what happens, you know, when we have that invitation from our Lord to follow him. It's always for our good. You know, some may think it's simply as a way of making up for the good that was shown to us. And that's just in the natural realm, right? That's, we do that with one another, you know. Scratch my back, I scratch yours, you know, kind of that thing. And here, you know, the desire ought to be that because one is so overwhelmed by the grace that was shown, that there really is no other option to pursue him. Because the reality of it is we're always pursuing something. It's an illusion to think that I can be autonomous. I'm just my own person, following my own way. No, you're either following God or you're following something else. And that something else is usually something sinister. It doesn't have the hope of you flourishing in this life and in the life to come. And so Bartimaeus, in choosing to follow him on the way, you know, it's not about, you know, when it says the way, it's not about him just simply following him on the current path that he's walking on. The way was also the phrase by which the faith was presented. So before they called it Christianity, they actually called it people on the way. And so Bartimaeus ended up giving everything that he had so that he could follow Jesus. I mean, in many cases when, you know, you hear that in Scripture, especially the Old Testament, God is jealous for us, you know, it's not because, you know, many times it's looked upon, right, if we don't understand Scripture or we don't understand the heart of God, you know, it's something that is, you know, can be misconstrued as if, you know, God's being very tyrannical. You know, when the reality is that God seeing that, you know, in our following of him is the best way that we can flourish, is the best way that we can experience this life. And that's how, why he's jealous for us, because he wants us. We who are the crown of creation have been made in his image and likeness. How can God desire our demise? You know, God wants our flourishing. You know, he wants us to grow in such a way as to experience the fullest extent of life. And so he's jealous insofar as he knows everything else that's vying for our attention is going to lead us in a subpar life. It's not going to be fulfilling, at least to the extent that God plans for us. And so in Bartimaeus giving this response and saying, well, you know, in following him on the way, he recognizes him, you know, truly as the one who will provide him with everything that he needs. So this episode of the Blind Man Bartimaeus, the 5 points, right? You got him crying out with expectant faith. Him recognizing who Jesus is, truly. The cloak, right? Dealing with our security blankets, anything that's holding us back. Opening our hearts to the Lord and the faith that he will respond. And then lastly, having that relationship with him. And some of us struggle with prayer. And if we can find ourselves going towards prayer in this manner, there's going to be great fruit. We're going to be able to see with eyes of faith more than the renewed eyes that Bartimaeus was given.